Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast, a show where we're going to chat about all things summer camp, from games, spiritual activities, to scheduling, staffing, and more. Brought to you by Bryant, Connor, and Jackson, along with other staff, volunteers, and campers of Chioka here in Calhoun, Louisiana.
Hello, this is Jackson here with the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. I'm here with Bryant again, and we kind of have two guests here today. We have Lauren Mosier and Kendall Branton. Lauren is a director out here, or kind of like an assistant director.
kind of something.
She just does a lot. She's more important than us, but like not quite a director.
She pays
And she's like heavily in charge of our junior weeks. And then Kendall is a counselor. She's just a nugget.
Just a nugget.
Super precious.
Has pigtails currently.
Currently rocking pigtails. And this podcast is mostly just going to be about like our junior week days and like what those days look like and what our counselor, like our jobs as counselors are during those weeks, and how they're different from the high school, middle school sessions we've already talked about. So I'm super excited to get their input on that. And me and Bryant kind of thought that they would have a little bit more insight than we would into this. And getting a girl's perspective is going to be important, too. So, Lauren, if you want to introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Lauren Mosier. I have been at camp for 19 years. I started coming here when I was in second grade and have been out here ever since. But junior weeks are my absolute favorite because I love the littles. And so I've just kind of always followed the mentors before me and learned from them, and I'm currently an elementary education teacher. I teach second grade, so I love this age and just seeing what they're like and teaching them about the Lord out here.
Yeah, and it's been awesome that you're a teacher because it allows you to be out here like all summer long.
It does.
And help us with everything and getting it all planned.
That's my favorite part, except that at the end of the summer it's like, aw. No break. But I love being out here.
And then we have Kendall.
Hey, I'm Kendall. I'm from South Carolina, and this is my first summer out here. The Lord truly just lit a spark in me back in the fall of wanting to come out to summer camp and serve Him in a new way that I haven't before. And I am an education major, so I love to teach and to be in the lives of kids. And I have experience back home. I serve with the preschoolers at my church, so I was just really excited to get involved with day camp and junior week because that age is such a fun age to get to love them and also hear the ways that they view Jesus that are just such like a childlike faith. It's so nugget. It's precious.
So kind of getting into like I guess like the depth of this podcast, talking about like what a junior week is exactly, because some like a lot of people out there may not know exactly what that is. It's kind of like this 5-year-old to 10 or 11-year-old range, like that elementary school group, anywhere from really just starting school to finishing up elementary, 5th or 6th grade.
So we like the way we split it up is you have your 4- and 5-year-olds who are getting into kindergarten or have just started kindergarten, or will go into kindergarten in the upcoming school year, and then all your kiddos who already are in elementary school. And we divide them up by age and by whether or not they spend the night out here or just come during the day. So they get an option of whether or not they spend the night or not. And usually spend the nighters are 9 years old or going into the 3rd grade. That's when they get to get the privilege to stay at Camp Chioka at night. Yeah. But that's what makes the difference between a day camp kiddo and a junior kiddo. So we split them up that way, which then like makes it a little interesting for counselors, for scheduling, just for everything that runs out here, because we have to accommodate for all ages. Which can get a little challenging.
Yeah, and then just time-wise, too, it's a little difficult, like, because some kids in your cabin are going to be leaving at 5 o'clock in the evening every day, mm-hmm. and then coming back early in the morning, but some of your kids will be there all night, so, like, making sure that you get the kids checked out and sent home, but also staying with your campers that are overnight, and making sure that, like, the schedules flow well with the all the kids out here, because during a junior week, there are so many more kids.
We usually run, like, 150 I think our first week this time we had 179. So running with that many kids on 100 acres is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Keeping up with them all.
So then like you want to talk a little bit about just scheduling and structure, like how you come up with a schedule for that many kids doing different things?
So it depends on the amount of kids that we have, what type of schedule we run. So we normally go either with a tri schedule or a quad schedule where we run in different sections. And we divide it up by age and like cabins. Sometimes we do girl, boy, it just depends. But our day starts off with everyone having campfire Bible together. And so we start the morning together, pick up with Jesus, and just get rolling in the day. And that's where things start to get a little crazy and spread all over the place. All of us go to one specific activity first thing in the morning after Bible's over. And then from there, everybody splits and goes on their own little schedule. So it kind of gets wild but interesting and really fun. But all of our kids always go to Bible. Everybody has their own cabin Bible class throughout the day sometime. Obviously, everybody gets to eat lunch. And then everybody also gets snacks all day long. So they're just when they get to do those things tend to fall at different times because of whatever group they're in.
Yeah, we don't have like necessarily the resources to give snacks out at the same time to 200 kids or feed lunch to 200 kids at the same time that are that age or like anything like that. We don't have the like that's not possible. So you have to make sure that they're coming in waves.
And well, and it's just smarter because you can't have a 5-year-old stand there for 30 minutes to get a snack because you lost them 2 minutes in.
And that's something different with the junior weeks compared to middle school and high school because the camp is alive, like, everywhere. Like, there's always kids everywhere, and it's fun going to the next thing because you're, like, passing different groups and saying hey to everyone, and it just feels like it's, like, one big boom, you know?
Yeah, instead of just, like, when it's high school week, there's just one area that's filled with kids at the same time. Like, they're all glumped together.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere. The whole camp's so active all the time.
It's very cool. It's interesting to see how they all, like, do different things and who likes what. And especially when you throw in, like, a little bit of competition within the day because they all get to do activities throughout the day. And so whenever somebody gets to play dodgeball against another cabin or, like, two cabins play kickball, it's the fun element comes in, a little competitive, and it's funny to see them interact with each other.
And something that I find really crazy about Lauren's job is, so we have this activity schedule that tells us exactly what each cabin will do.
It's a crazy schedule.
Then their activity each day. And it's like, you know, whatever game it is, it gives you the location of the game and like which time of the day you're doing it. But the thing is that each schedule has three activities a day at least.
Yeah.
And so you have three activities that you have to do that are at different times. And then they kind of overlap times with some of the other people. Activities, the other three schedules activities. But you also have to make sure that no one's in the same location at the same time, they're not overlapping locations.
Or the littles aren't walking too far.
Yeah, you have to make sure that the young kids don't go across camp from one activity to the other.
They're limited to the activities they do because of their age.
Exactly. And you don't want little kids in the same area as the big kids so they don't get hurt.
Competition wise.
And like all the little things you have to think about throughout the day that like you wouldn't even realize at all when you think about planning a summer camp or anything like that.
And that's what's so sweet about the schedule. Because everything is so intentional for that age. Like even the different activities, we have a whole set of different activities for the day campers that are itty bitty compared to the overnighters that are more competitive and I would say more courageous to be like active and
It's definitely a monster that schedule is. And it's and for whatever reason it changes every year. I don't know why it has to change, but it does. Like it just keeps growing. But it's difficult to make sure that everybody gets to do every activity because we want our kids when they come to our camp to experience the Camp Chioka things, like to be able to go boating and fishing on our lake and to be able to have time at campfire, be able to play nine square or ping pong and like just things that are very camp specific activities that are things maybe they don't experience at school all year long or things that maybe they've never even done before or wouldn't have the availability to do or the resources. But being able to make sure that those kids are not in the main area while other people are eating lunch and need free time or making sure that no two games are at the same time that can't happen and make sure everybody is doing something at some time that's not boring and everyone's happy. And it's just, it's a monster. It really is. But it helps so much to keep things organized and everybody to like have a good time.
And it's so satisfying once you've worked on the schedule for so long and seeing it all come together and knowing, like what you say, to be flexible when things do have to change, just knowing that we're all as a team going to work together to make it be the best it can be.
And I think a big part of, like, the schedule changing every year and, like, that whole thing is just the, like, well, your specific mindset, too, of, like, always wanting to improve the experience for these kids that they
have. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, like, you've always, like, you always want to make it better and, like, make sure they get to play every game. And then, like, what you were talking about with making sure that they get to do, like, the Camp Shioka things that they get to do every year. And, like, keeping, like, and I think it was either you or Jean-Luc, and probably both, that talked about this last night with us as a staff. Making sure it's, like, that these kids, we don't know what kind of life they're going to have, you know, when they come here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what kind of life they have at home, or, like, what they get to do, or what they experience. But giving them some sort of consistency in their life. Like, when they come back to camp, they know
they get to play.
They know they're going to get something.
Go fishing.
They know that there's going to be some consistency in their life, which, like, kind of gets into, like, part of what our job is, too, as counselors.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Which kind of looks different on a junior week, because on a normal week, like high school and middle school, they kind of have a lot of free time, and then counselors are, you're either part of a team or you're a counselor, and that's what you do. Like, it's just set and specific. But with junior weeks, we have day camp counselors, and then we have overnight counselors. So our day camp counselors, at 5 o'clock when their kiddos leave, they don't have kids anymore. And so, and they switch into a new role in the afternoon and partially become our cleanup crew and help with any type of activity that we're going to do in the afternoon with our overnighters and just anything really that we can do for them. And then also, that gives them a time to just sit and have a spiritual moment for themselves and, like, just rest, which is definitely needed with that age group because they need your attention constantly. But then you have our overnight counselors who have kids 24/7 for the week. But luckily we have multiple weeks that we do junior weeks. So we try to make it to where if you were a day camp counselor the first week, the second week you switch and become an overnighter and vice versa, for our overnight counselors.
Yeah. And I will say, being the first week I was a day camp counselor and then the second junior week I was an overnight counselor, and really and truly they're both, like, equally exhausting because the day campers, they're so little. It's just, like, constantly on them, like, either helping them go to the bathroom, helping them get 18 Band-Aids, helping them do all these different things. So then at 5 o'clock, you're like, I gotta throw in that towel, gotta rest and recharge for the next day. But then with the, overnight campers, it's, one, they're older, so they're more self-sufficient, and like, you've prepared yourself to have to be, like, on, like, mom time and loving them constantly, but also knowing that, oh, they can get their own drink at dinner time. They don't need me to do all the little things. So it's really cool and so sweet to get to be in both roles throughout the summer.
Well, getting them to do it, like, I've done both this summer, and one, or the day campers, is like a sprint. Do your best you can to keep up while they're here. And then the night times is a marathon. And so definitely personalities, and they, like, merge, and some do better, and some do better with day campers, some do better with night campers, but definitely they're both a challenge.
Definitely.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. That age group in general, you just have to constantly keep them moving to the next thing.
Yeah.
That's why we make the schedules that we do, to keep them moving and just constantly going. And one of the sayings for junior week is that we always have forced fun because everybody is tired by the end of the day, but you've got to keep going to keep those little brains that are moving 100 miles an hour busy.
Which, like, as a counselor, can be really difficult, too. Because it's, like, for them, like, we have to move locations to keep their focus and, like, to keep their attention.
Something new.
they need a new game with a new location and a new, like, all that stuff needs to be new. But, like, for us, it's kind of draining to just walk all over camp all day. Like, in the sun, we're walking, keeping up with 20 kids. And then not only that, but, like, as counselors, like, it is our job to keep the energy up and, like, get excited about every single game we play. And, like, we have to teach them how to play. We have to be excited when we play with them and, like, make sure they're having fun. And sometimes, like, we have to make on-the-fly adjustments when they don't want to play a game or they don't, like, they're not getting into a certain thing. Like, it's kind of our job to make sure that whatever they're doing, they're enjoying and they're getting to, like, have a good experience out here.
Can you talk about something as a new counselor coming in, something that it's really nice to have is pocket games? Junior week, or pocket games come in handy.
That one of the reasons that our activity schedule changes so much is because the kiddos don't like something, or they just aren't into it or don't enjoy it, especially for our little girls. They don't like a lot of the games that the boys like, so it's difficult coming up with things for them. Mm-hmm. And then in those moments, whenever they're sitting there bored and don't like what they're playing, if they go play soccer and it's too hot and they kind of get into the whiny mode, you have to be able to pull something mm-hmm. out of your pocket and run with it. And just like, that's why we call them pocket games, because you just have something in your back pocket that you can pull out whenever you need it and just go with it and just roll and roll and roll, just to keep their minds busy and keep the whine level to a minimum, I would say.
Yeah, that's something Jean-Luc hit really hard. Not as hard this year, but definitely last year in staff training. Like, he has this notebook full of like 250 pocket games.
That's crazy.
And like maybe more that he got from college.
Yeah,
and
from
like
school.
That's awesome.
Like just making sure that we knew games that we could play when they like.
Well, and those are things like DuckDuckGoose or like Ninja, like just those simple, easy games that you can just play wherever you are and you don't need any type of materials or anything.
And even with girls, the different like hand games, like singing a song, Miss Mary Mac, or they do another one that I can't think of the name, where they like
Sally Walker.
Yeah, Little Sally Walker. And then there's one where you're like sitting on a circle and you sing a song and you keep like smacking your hands, and then when the song ends, whoever like smacks
like
the
ball frog one.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're like out until the end. Or when you like close your eyes and you say 1, 2, 3, look up. And if you're like locked eyes with a person across from you, then like you're out.
Yeah, we played that game yesterday.
So funny.
It is so crazy how the simplest thing like is very entertaining.
And like also today, we were at archery with the girls I'm with this week, and half of them were into the axe throwing that we got going on here, and then the other half were just kind of sitting in the shade. And I my like hair was down, and they're like, Miss Kendall, can we just play with your hair? And I was like, sure. So they just started giving me all these different hairstyles, and they had the time of their life.
You've had like 6 hair appointments today.
Yes, I really have. It's not.
It's not even joking.
I was like, 2:15, gotta go.
Another hair appointment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Every time I turn around, she's got a new hairdo, just from whoever got bored.
It's been a good day.
And like, I know there's a lot of time where you can just like let kids like draw on your arms. And
yes.
Like,
oh my word.
They just love attention in general. So, like,
yes.
If you're just sitting there, like, giving the kids the attention mm-hmm. and, like, being with them and being present, like, they generally will have a pretty good time.
Anything with a counselor is just a home run. Absolutely anything.
Well, and despite all the challenges of a junior week and being, like, exhausted, I mean, one of the hardest things for me as an overnight counselor was, like, the bedtime routine. I mean, getting, like, 15 girls to go in bed and tuck them in was so challenging, but that like satisfying moment if they're all asleep and you're like, yes. Like, it's just this, like those like sweet little moments where you're like, Jesus, thank you so much for the silence. And the sweet moments of them like running up to you because they found this flower and they wanted to give it to you, or they drew this picture and they wanted to give it to you. It's like the little moments that just make it so sweet.
Well, that's one of the reasons that we do that. That's one of the whole purposes that we have them out here, because during their summertime, I mean, they don't go to school during the summer, yeah. And so they sit at home, and so their opportunity to come to camp is to, like, meet new kids, make new friends, be influenced by the people that are here, and then we also have the opportunity to, you know, teach them the gospel, teach them who Jesus is, and teach them the importance of that, and hope that they go home remembering something that we learned in the week.
In a lot of ways, just hoping that they continue to come back
until
they're older, and we can like teach them more and more as they get older and just keep coming out here. Because a lot of the kids that come out here now will be people that graduate high school still coming here.
Yeah. Well, and to me, that's why I say a lot of times it's almost more important to put all of your energy in a junior week.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have junior week, you won't get middle schoolers, and then you won't get high schoolers.
That's so true.
Like, if you raise these kids up out here and keep them coming and they invite more people, then your high school, middle school groups are growing and doubling because of those kiddos that you've put so much life into.
And what I find so fun is, so out here we've had two junior weeks with overnight campers, and then this week is our day camp with just day campers. But there's some kids that have been out here for every single junior week, and they're not tired of it. They're so excited. They get so involved with the characters in Bible. They feel like they're best friends. And that is just the cutest thing. Like, it just, like, makes my heart so joyful, because the Lord is moving. And even on the days when our kids are being crazy, like, the Lord is still moving because they keep coming back, and it's just sweet.
Yeah.
And today, I want to say this. I walked past this sweet girl. Her name's Mary Alice, and she's so cute. She has been singing that song, Remarkably Made, all day long. And every time I pass her, she keeps singing it. And I'm like, that is just the cutest thing. Like, and she'll go home and sing that song. And she'll go to school singing that song.
Just the little worship songs we have to teach them in the morning that, like,
I had one of my kids yesterday singing that song while hitting another kid with a stick. So, well. I don't know if he, like, connected too well with it.
He's beating Jesus into him. That's what he was doing.
I don't know if he connected it into his own life, but he definitely...
Maybe later, though. You never know.
Yeah, maybe he'll stick around longer. Yeah.
No joke. That is something different than we do, though, like... with high schoolers, you know, you get to do all the spiritual activities and the interesting Selahs and Bible and testimonies and things like that. But for our littles, we don't really do a lot of that. We still do some of the spiritual activities, but their Bible in the morning is a Bible skit. And so we bring the Bible stories to life with actors that are our own counselors who don't know that they're going to do it coming into camp, but we force fun and they join in anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And so we teach those kiddos about Jesus in fun, entertaining ways, and then they do get to sing their own type of worship songs and worship that way, and it's very, very cool.
And that kind of has to be, like, as a counselor, you kind of have to be ready to come in and, like, in a lot of ways embarrass yourself in front of people and, like, do things that are really silly and goofy, and, like, you just have to kind of be okay with that.
It's so fun, though. Like, what? Those songs are my jam. Like, I could literally sing those all day, bang my head. Have the best time ever. I thrive. I really do.
And that's what makes Kendall a fantastic counselor.
Okay.
So kind of like one more thing we wanted to definitely talk about today is just, so Lauren is our master disciplinarian out here for junior weeks. If a kid is really causing a lot of trouble, you always take them to Ms. Moja. And her name strikes fear into the hearts of small children.
It does. And joy at the same time.
You want to talk to Lauren?
It just depends.
But that person is needed, you know? Like, there has to be someone that is, like...
No, they love her the most and also fear her the most.
Yeah, that's the best.
It's a cool medium.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's like, if you want to... If they're not in trouble and you ask if they want to see her, they'll get really excited. But if they just did something that's kind of bad...
Yeah.
And you ask if they want to see her, they'll cower and immediately run. Quit whatever it is.
I did have one run yesterday for me. Like, so we're going to see Miss Lauren and darted off in the other direction. But I have a lot of experience in Title I environments. So the schools that I teach at have extremely difficult kids who have horrible home situations. So learning from that, like, I've kind of developed little ways to deal with different types of kids because we have no idea what their background or their home life is like and what type of discipline, if any, is in their home. So when they come to us and just randomly decide, today I'm going to punch someone, like, it's hard to figure out the best way to approach those kiddos. And I always approach it in a loving way because we want them to know that what they did is not right, and they obviously already know, or they wouldn't be crying in the moment that you're getting onto them. Like, but to make them aware of what they're doing that's incorrect, fix it, learn how to apologize to people and accept apologies, not just for the one who's in trouble, but for also the kid who was the other part. Like, learning how to be forgiving, learning how to say, it's okay, I accept your apology. And then the child who's in trouble, learning how to differentiate between good and bad decisions and making the right choice when it's hard and you don't want to, but you have to because it's what's right.
Yeah. Well, and I even, like, so being a future educator, I totally look up to Lauren because it's like classroom management, you know, and like knowing how to, in the same sense, like managing your cabin and like building that like respect. But I think, too, something that I learned from working with 4 and 5-year-olds back home is the importance of, like, counselors that are out there listening, getting on their level and, like, looking, like, not towering over them and, like, yelling at them right away.
Yeah.
But just saying, like, hey, do you know what you're doing? Like, you know, you just made her sad because you said that. And a lot of times they aren't really aware and they just like want to be like loved on, and maybe it might be an attention thing or who even knows. But before just like yelling and taking away swim time, like giving them the chance to acknowledge what they did before.
Right. Yeah, using positive reinforcement is way more effective with this age than negative reinforcement, because at home, I don't know if it's true, but a lot of times negative reinforcement is more popular, and like that's what they recognize and that's what they expect.
Right.
And so a lot of times when you use positive reinforcement, it's just like, oh wow, what is this? Like, this is what happens if I behave. Like, it's just a lot more effective way to deal with the junior week kids.
Well, and we don't have a lot of like, we can't do what parents can do at home out here.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously we don't spank kids and we don't give them harsh consequences, but like swim time is a thing that they love to do. So when someone is in trouble, like threatening a swim, like just 2 minutes out of swim time is the biggest thing on the planet, even though you still have 58 minutes to swim. Like those 2 minutes are the most important minutes.
Yeah.
And so like just those tiny things like that, but the purpose in, I would say like reprimanding them would be attempting to get them to change their behavior to keep them coming back, because we don't like to send them home unless it's a major, major ordeal that we need to send them home for. But giving multiple chances and constantly giving forgiveness and grace in their little mistakes is super, super important, I think.
And I think like a lot of, especially, I think this is more of an issue with guy counselors than it has been with girl counselors, but like just controlling your temper and like not like, it's really easy to just like burst out in anger when they don't listen and like yell and do stuff like that. But like I found from the times like where I've messed up and like yelled at a kid before I pulled them aside, or like, I know like I think 2 days ago I like yelled at a kid for something. I don't remember what it was. Like he was like not getting in line, like he was totally running off on his own or whatever. And
probably
I like
for the 40th time.
And I was really irritated at the moment, and I like yelled, and I was like I yelled like, get in line, get in line. And I like went over there and I like pulled him off to the side, and I was like, hey, I'm really sorry, like I shouldn't have done that, and like my tone was really bad, I'm sorry, I'm irritated about a lot of things, and what you did was not wrong, like you're okay, like we just need to get to the next place. And he, I know that he like really appreciated it, because he like gave me a big smile and was like, oh, thank you, and like got back in line.
Which stinks, because I mean, you're at your 9th week out here and you're exhausted, and these kids do not hear you the first time you say something. You do have to be repetitive and say things over and over, and so it gets extremely challenging. And one thing that I always recommend in like moments like that is to take yourself out of the situation, just like we tell the kids. Like, if it's a moment where you feel yourself getting worked up, to just step back, take a breath, give it a second, let someone else handle it for a minute, and then go back when you're at a better place. Because it's hard. It is so hard, because they don't listen to you.
And I think it's something that's always been really good for me when talking to kids about stuff they do wrong, is just implementing that idea of living like Jesus and, like, living to glorify God. Because it's not, they're not necessarily going to understand, like, the deep, like, why everything happens the way it happens and why we're called to live a certain way. Like, that's not the stuff you need to get into necessarily, but just telling them like, hey, like, is that what Jesus would do? Like, let's try and live like Jesus does. Let's try and be kind to others and love everyone around us. And giving them those simple truths that will help them, if they like really take them to heart, help them carry throughout the
trying to get them to see through that lens, and trying to get them to say, like, when I act this way, it's not like that. Because a lot of them aren't aware of how much they're affecting other kids until it's too late. And then they're like, well, what's the big deal? And then if you can get them to see and like focus their vision on their behavior affects other people and it affects how we respond to them, is really important as well.
Exactly.
Laying out that chain reaction is definitely important in any type of disciplinary situation.
Well, I think that was really good.
30 minutes.
Yeah.